All right, then. It is 5 p.m. or thereabouts. And it's Wednesday, exactly. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. My lawyer wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, is here with me, and I am Tom Ryan.
I just want to make a correction.
Hour.
It's 5.01 p.m.
Well done. Oh, why did I say ifish? Or
I'm just kidding. I'm just making some words up here for you.
Thanks. That's good. Got to fill in all those, you know, those slots when I leave blanks. Of course, what we've been doing on Wednesdays is looking at albums. Seems to be a little bit of misunderstanding from some of the commercials that that are being aired on the station about what we're doing. We are dealing with what you would say hit singles, but we're not doing that directly. We're covering albums on Wednesday. That's strictly what we're doing. And sometimes the albums that we're playing have a lot of hits on them. And in today's case, that is definitely true. This might be the most hit, one of the most hit-bound albums or hit-loaded albums that of anything that we've played in this series. From February of 1977, so obviously a number one record. It was entitled Rumors. And of course, the band is Fleetwood Mac. Now, if you were a fan of Fleetwood Mac from their early years and followed them up to the point of 1977, that would have meant that you have a very, very fluid mind about accepting change. Because the band had been, I mean, is there any musical act that changed musical styles with each personnel change more often than Fleetwood Mac? I think they've gone through so many different permutations. And I mean, if you were going to peruse their entire catalog, the band's music shifted constantly. And with each change, the new style bore almost no resemblance to the previous lineup. So it is interesting that the most dysfunctional version of the band was also the most successful by a long shot. At this point in time, Fleetwood Mac were in an environment where each of the band's two couples were breaking up with each other. One a married couple, the other one not, but that's irrelevant. They were together and they were couples and they were recording as four-fifths of Fleetwood Mac. And Mick Fleetwood, the drummer, who was married at the time, he also was having a tenuous situation with his wife at that point in time. The story is that he caught her having an affair, but the fact is that he was also having an affair with Stevie Nicks. So it's exactly the mess that you think it is. So everyone was on edge, yet they somehow stitched together a nearly perfect collection of lyrically complex songs about resentment and distrust and alienation. All that stuff that goes through your head when you're breaking up with somebody who you thought you could trust. Now, being the 70s, the overall theme was perfect for the times. And the soft pop rock structure provided the perfect zeitgeist for the sexual revolution era of a time when open relationships and key parties and free love and all that sort of thing were becoming into the culture, to the mainstream culture on many levels. So generally speaking, the songs on this album, the lyrics anyway, tend to be pessimistic, with Christine McVie as the only songwriter really somehow providing a positive perspective amid the tension. But the musical arrangements are very tightly structured and also addictive. It was soft rock with a heavy theme, in a nutshell. And this was a cultural era when that message resounded. At a time when sexual awareness exposed itself and the divorce rate skyrocketed, the world had an album that it could relate to. And I should know. My first marriage was in 1977 when I was all of 19 years old when this album came out. So, you know, deservedly, Rumors became one of the most popular albums of all time. And for those who missed it, this is what the 70s sounded like. And it's also what it felt like. Now, the band is called Fleetwood Mac, but the only two members of the band that really aren't songwriters are John McVie and, of course, Mick Fleetwood. The rhythm section, bass and drums, put them together. Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks were a couple. Of course, John McVie was married to Christine McVie, and she was with the band for long before Buckingham and Nicks joined. So they had a good five-year run or so as she was a member of Fleetwood Mac. And she became one of the band's most important songwriters up until that point when all of a sudden Buckingham and Nicks were giving her a run for her money for the songs. In this instance, any three of them could have come up with the biggest hit. Any three of them could have gotten the opening track. And that's sort of exactly what happened in this case, where they knew that the song Secondhand News was going to be that was the front runner to be the lead off track, and it stayed there in that place, with lyrics being pretty obvious. I know there's nothing to say. Someone has taken my place. That's more or less sets the theme for the entire album. So here is a song written by Lindsey Buckingham. Here's Secondhand News.
When time go bad, when time go rough, won't you lay me down in the torrents and lift me in my stuff? I know I got nothing on you. I know there's nothing to do. When time go bad, you can't get enough. Won't you lay me down in the torrents and lift me in my stuff? Bow, 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 bow.
Great opener. The one thing about this album that I think that makes it so timeless is the quality of the production. If you listen closely, it's just an amazingly well-structured album. It's another thing that's really interesting is that this is at a time when people were maybe beginning to get disenchanted with the fact that rock and roll was sounding so clean and pristine and perfect. which is exactly what this year from 1977, which we're going to be studying for about the next few months as we move through it chronologically. This is where the punk thing but really began to burst out. And that's also why we're going to have a whole lot more of the alternative top 40 albums than the top 40 albums, like Rumors, because it was a bit of a war. I mean, what was happening in California was totally different than what was happening in New York. The scene was completely different. And by the time that punk came back to California, it was actually, it came back in a pretty scary way. A lot of the bands there from were just like kind of nuts. Germs and stuff like that, and Jello Biafra, and then it was like, whoa, this is like taking it to a whole different weird place. But Fleetwood Mac were, at this point in time, very representative, like the Eagles, of the whole California style, the California mood, and also the California relationship thing, where everybody was breaking up. Stevie Nicks wrote the next song while the band was recording, and they didn't need her for a while. So she left the one studio that they were all in, walked into another room. They said it was a room that was once where Sly and the Family Stone would have been recording. And there was a sunken pit with a piano and a big velvet bed. And she got on the bed with a little piano that she brought in with her, and she started to like bang out a song. And she says within 10 minutes, she wrote the song. And she kind of knew that she had something because the song was like upbeat from what she was normally doing, rather than her like playing some slow folky thing. She had something that she really felt that would suit the band. And she was right, because the song became, it was the second single that was released from the album, but it was a number one single. And believe it or not, it was the band's only number one hit single in the United States. And it is called Dreams.
Thank you.
read somewhere that the band almost passed on that song when she presented it. They thought it's like, it's kind of boring. Just kind of repeats the same thing over and over again. So they didn't really think they were going to be able to use it. And it's interesting that it was Lindsey Buckingham who I kind of bolstered it by changing the arrangement a little bit to give it some body so that it changed from section to section. And all of a sudden it came to life and boom, there you have it. Like the biggest hit song that the band released. And that's saying something. That's really saying something. Speaking of Lindsey Buckingham, he wrote this next song. He's writing about Stevie Nicks after their breakup. He said that this actually came to his mind after he had found, like, he was on a rebound thing. He found another woman and he was staying with her, and he figured, like, okay, I don't have to worry about going back to Stevie anymore. And he wrote this little ditty called Never Going Back Again. Since every song on this album is more or less about somebody else on the album one way or another, the same thing applies here. But like I said, it was Christine McVie who more or less stayed upbeat with her the topicality of her words. With the song Don't Stop, she was actually talking to her ex-husband, John McVie. They had been married for 8 years. And I guess that she was thinking to herself that, you know, she recognized that they were still going to be working together. And there was no reason, I suppose, for malice. So she wrote the song Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow as though she was literally singing the words to him. Although the band themselves liked the idea of having the song be a duet, and John McVie isn't a vocalist of any real, you know, great means anyway. So they got she teamed up with Lindsey Buckingham, and once they started doing it as a duet, it became pretty obvious that the song was going to be really successful, and it did become their third single. This one stopping in the U.S. charts at number 3. It's called Don't Stop.
Take.
Christine McVie putting a little light onto the subject of what the album Rumors was about. Go Your Own Way. So we've heard the third single and the first second single. Now, the next track, all on the same side, it's pretty incredible, was the very first single that was released from Rumors. It was a Buckingham tune. So in order, Buckingham had the first single, Stevie Nicks had the second, and Christine McVie had the third. All three of them going top 10. Only the Stevie Nicks song, though, going to number one. But with Buckingham's song, Go Your Own Way, it was the first top 10 hit for the band Fleetwood Mac in their history. So that's saying something. And then, of course, the fame that this album eventually collected to become really one of the most famous albums in the history of recorded music. Well, there it is. And, of course, the subject, it's another sort of a funny story. Buckingham wrote the song with a little bit of bile in him. And when he brought the song to the band, he was like really playing his guitar really hard and screaming the words that he had. He had like a couple of placeholder things that was going. But they said like that the producers and the rest of the band members were looking at him like, what is he doing? This is ridiculous. Like they kind of thought that it was crazy that he was like getting that excited. Well, it turned out to be, obviously, a fantastic song once they put it all together and produced it properly. Go Your Own Way.
Go your own way. Go, go.
And with one song left to end side one, we return to Christine McVie, which is pretty amazing. Let me remind you, by the way, you're listening to American Hit Radio on WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. Got to do that other half hour thing. So, one more song for what I think would fill out a more or less a perfect album side is a song that Christine McVie wrote as she was like lying in bed, and she got up and started to put it down. And she said she couldn't go to sleep because she was afraid that she'd end up losing what she had. So she stayed up, and when she returned to the studio in the morning, she played it for Kevin Collett, who was the Ken Collett, who was the producer, and he loved it, and he thought that it would be this sort of the thing that would sound like what something would play at a concert if they were performing live. So instead of recording this song in the studio, they actually rented out an auditorium, set up Christine at the piano, put 15 mics around the auditorium to get an oral sound of what the full auditorium would sound like, giving it a completely different sound than the rest of the album. And it worked out brilliantly. In fact, it's the song that she would often use to close Fleetwood Mac shows. And it's, again, it's a beautiful song. It's like she manages to stay very positive, and it's it can be a bit of a weeper too for that reason. It's called Songbird. The album Rumors in its entirety, and it's an easy thing to do. Sometimes I'm coming in and I'm playing some pretty strange albums and playing them for an hour, and other people sometimes are thinking like, oh my god, what is that? Nobody's thinking that with this album, because you should be familiar with probably at least three quarters of the material that we're playing, if not more, because they've all been so popular. Although the next song, which could have been the title song for the album, but wasn't, is The Chain. And it's sort of a Rube Goldberg song. It really was a matter of them putting together three or four different types of ideas that they had and mixing them all together to come up with something. The song for a long time wasn't going to even be part of the album because it didn't really have any real structure. They had the ending bit, and then Stevie Nicks would come up with lyrics like, if you don't love me now, you'll never love me again. And then it's like, hey, maybe we could use that for a verse. And so they dropped that in and edited that and changed some of the chord progressions a little bit. And they ended up with a song that has a lot of motion in it and emotion as well, which is perfectly suitable for this album, of course. It is the only song ever that is credited to all five members of Fleetwood Mac, this version of Fleetwood Mac, credited to Buckingham, Fleetwood, McVie, and Nicks. Here's the song, The Chain. Shadows, damn your love, damn your life. have a soft spot in my heart for songs that are like that, where the theme changes as the song progresses, and it begins to take you to a place that you weren't expecting when the song started. There's a real creativity involved in that. And Fleetwood Mac, despite what they were going through personally, were definitely at a huge creative peak at this point in their lives. Again, the next track, Christine McVie, bringing the happiness something which isn't vindictive and no finger pointing in her songs, although this is a song that really could have ticked off her ex-husband. It's called You Make Loving Fun. And at the point, at this point in time, she was actually dating the band's lighting director, a guy named Curry Grant. So she wrote the song to him. But at the time, she really didn't want John McVie. She didn't want anybody to really know, because it just would have been problematic. So she just said that she was talking about her dog. And they said, oh, that's cute. That's great. So they went along with it. When they recorded the song, this is one of the few examples of a time when Lindsey Buckingham actually wasn't in the studio for an awful lot of what was going down. So Christine was able to do most of the arrangements by herself. There was one exception, which was where on the chorus, when Lindsey did show up, he told Mick Fleetwood that he wanted him to put a couple of like accent beats on the chorus of the tom up with his tom-tom, and he didn't like the idea, so he wouldn't do it. So when the time came and he left, Buckingham did it himself and added it to the track, because that's just the way that it worked if you were in Fleetwood Mac. Here's You Make Love and Fun.
You make me happy with the things you do.
Actually an old song that went back onto the days of the Buckingham Nicks album before they were members of Fleetwood Mac, and it was put on the album to replace a song called Silver Springs that they didn't think was going to fit onto the album, which really did not make Stevie Nicks happy. But we've got two songs left, just about enough time, so we'll start with a song called Oh Daddy, written by Christine McVie, a song for Mick Fleetwood because he was the only person in the group who had children. And, of course, we'll end with Gold Dust Woman, Stevie Nicks' folky song that ended up being a great closer for this rather remarkable album. Hope you had a great time, folks. See you next week. Bye-bye. You know you make me cry. How can you love me? I don't understand why. Oh, Daddy, if I can make you see. There's been a fool around. It's got to be me. Yes, it's got to be me. Oh, Daddy, you soothe me with your smile. You're letting me know you're the best thing in my life. Oh, Daddy, if I could make you see. There's been a fool around. It's got to be me. Yes, it's got to be me. Why are you right when I'm so wrong? I'm so weak, but you're so strong. Everything you do is just so right. I can't walk away from you, baby, if I try.
Thank you. The following is brought to you by AmericanHitNetwork.com.
In 1958, this magazine debuted its Hot 100.